Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? I just want to thank the worship team for leading worship every week. It's just amazing. You know, that's why we're here, to worship God. So thank you guys for leading worship. Tim, it's great that you're back here for a little while. And thanks for reading those verses in Romans that we're going to be reading, again, kind of more in depth, is what we're talking about. If you're new with us, first, welcome. Glad you guys are here. We're finishing up a series in the book of Romans chapter 8 called The Power of the Gospel. And so if you've been around the past 3 weeks or so, you know that the first week we talked about freedom in Christ and everything that that entails, life in the Spirit. And the week after that, we talked about the law and the battle within us to satisfy the law of the Spirit, but the battle against the law of the flesh. And then last week, we talked about our identity in Christ, right? That we're children of God, that we were heirs of the eternal promise. And so I'm excited today to finish up this series, mainly because it's a very encouraging message today, I feel, because as you saw in the verses, I always imagined Paul would deliver those verses as if they were a battle cry. Right, he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And he just goes through and says all the reasons why that is true. And he, it's as if he were standing on a hill and speaking down to the congregation getting ready for battle. It reminds me a lot of any type of battle scene that we see in movies, right? I always have this picture of Gandalf on the hill and the sun rising behind him, and everyone looks up to him and they finally have hope because Gandalf has come to save the day. There's other great movies that have battle scenes. 300, if you guys have seen that movie. It's a really great pre-battle speech. Patton, right? In Patton, there's General Patton stands in front of the big American flag. Spartacus is another one. But you guys know what is definitively the best pre-battle speech movie scene of all time? Do you guys know what it is? There's no debate here. Okay, just roll the clip and you'll see.
I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland.
And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
Scotland! I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. He kills men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that?
No!
We will run!
And we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to train all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
All right, so is there anything more American than a Scottish battle for independence? I mean, I love that scene. It's amazing, and it's a lot of how I feel this passage could be read to Christians, because the Christian life is like a battle, right? The Christian life isn't easy. And, you know, their battle cry was, they may take our lives, but they won't take our freedom. For the Christian battle cries right here in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And I love that the Christian life, we have the power of the gospel for our lives. And it's such confidence and assurance that we have in Christ to face the trials and tribulations of life. I know there's so many of us here today that are going through something. You know, maybe you're here and you feel kind of on shaky ground. You don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Maybe things at work aren't so good and you might get fired. And you're like, man, my future is shaky. But what the Bible reminds us is that if God is for us, none of these things can stand against us. It's our battle cry to help us in our day-to-day Christian walk. And if you look at this sentence structure here, if God is for us, who can be against us? Yes, it reads as a question, but it's not a question at all, is it? Because for the Christian, the answer is in the question that God is for us and nothing can stand against us. And so this verse reads more like a mathematical proof than it does a question, right? So like in math, you'll have some equation, x plus y equals z, and if you know z, you can say something about the relationship between x and y. And a mathematical proof just lays out all the reasons that that equation is true. And when you look in life's equation, there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of variables. All these tribulations, the suffering, the pain, anxiety about tomorrow, all these variables come and go to different people at different times. But what Paul is saying here is that God is the constant in a life full of variables. He's a constant source for us. And Paul spent an entire chapter explaining how this is true. He talked all about our identity in Christ, life in the Spirit. And he says in particular that the Spirit of the one who raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, will also raise your life from the dead and bring life to your mortal bodies. So essentially what Paul is doing here in verse 31 is he is making a logic statement. It's as if it's his thesis statement or his conclusion. And he's basically saying that God being for us is the establishing condition. Basically, it's the thing that we first assume, if you're a Christian, that God is for us. And so if God is for us reads more like since God is for us, or therefore, or it follows that because God is for us, nothing can stand against us. God is the constant in the equation of life that contains so many variables. So if we know that God is for us as a constant source, then we can have peace and we can have assurance that no matter what comes the next day and the day after that, that God is fighting for us. I love that because, you know, one of the songs that we sing here a lot of times is Open Up Our Eyes, I think by Elevation Worship. And in the bridge, it's just us declaring that God is fighting for us all, that God is fighting for us. And that's exactly what this verse is saying, that God is fighting for us. And I love what Psalm 46 tells us. It says that God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. I feel like William Wallace saying this. I need a British accent or a Scottish accent. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Is there something in your life today that is seeking to shake you? God is saying, be still and know that God is fighting for you because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In other words, God is available to the believer. He is with us always. And the resurrection of Jesus made it so. So in his strength, we can be still. We can not worry about the future. God is the constant in a life full of variables. And these variables, Paul touches on them. He touches on all different types of things that we may come into contact with. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, all these different things that we might come into contact in our life, you know, unexpected health issues that I thought I had a plan for my life and it completely derailed my plan. Conflict, tension at work, at home, uncertain of how the present circumstances are going to play themselves out. These are all things that can give us anxiety, all these variables in life. And Satan will try to introduce new variables in your life to keep you from seeing the constant in the equation. You know, the church at Rome understood this. The church at Rome, they had suffering and weakness. There's this new church, and as a new church, they're proclaiming this gospel, not only of salvation, but that we have a king in Jesus, an everlasting king. And so obviously that is a threat to a lot of people, especially the Roman Empire. And so verse 36 says, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." And in a few years after this is written, because this is written around like 57 AD, in 64 AD, there's this great fire that breaks out in Rome. And a lot of people think that the emperor Nero caused this fire to happen to deflect blame on the Christians. And what happens is Nero persecutes Christians and he kills them. And we see them thrown into a lion's den and being just mauled. I believe I have a picture here of that where, yeah, I mean, just brutal. This is a mosaic found in Rome. And Christians are being persecuted and Nero seeks to destroy Christianity. But Paul gives us a reminder that though someone may even kill you, though you may even die, they cannot destroy you because they cannot separate you from the love in Christ. There are so many people in outside circumstances that will seek to destroy you, to seek to put you down and seek to separate you from what God has called you to in Him. Sometimes this isn't even external circumstances. You know, in America, we don't really have persecution yet as Christians, but a lot of what we face are internal struggles, right? There's a lot of stuff that betrays us. Our own mind even betrays us sometimes. There's people here who are struggling with depression, just thoughts that they can't get out of their head. But the Bible says even though we would betray ourselves, God is faithful and He is always for us. This is comforting and this is encouraging. And this is what the Bible tells us in verse 28, before the verses we read, that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. He says, this is what we know for a fact, that if I believe in Jesus, all the variables of life God will take and use for my benefit. Now, at first glance, you may look at this verse, and some people would say that it means that good things happen to people who love God. But that's not what it's saying, because it talks about all things. So the good, the bad, the ugly, all these things happen to us, even as Christians. Just because you love God doesn't mean that a bad thing will not happen to you. But what he's saying is that if you love God, and notice that he says if you love God and not if God loves you, because we know that God loves us. In Christ, he has given us a new identity, an established identity in him. So God loves us, but he specifically says if for those who love God. So that's what we kind of talked about last week, where we're setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. If we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we have to yield to that and we have to walk by faith. And a lot of times we don't walk by faith. We walk by fear. And what he's saying is that if you walk by the Spirit and you walk by faith, God is going to work out all these things for your good. Because even though you're walking a faithful walk, you're going to have things come in the way. All these obstacles that are trying to keep you from getting to where God is calling you. But, and what I love this is that God doesn't necessarily remove those obstacles all the time. When he works them out for your good, sometimes he calls you to walk through it, to walk through the fire. So that by working all things out for your good means he's actually taking the bad and he's integrating it into the story. He's actually using it. He's flipping the script and using it to get you to where he's calling you to go. And what he's demonstrating is he's demonstrating his power and his control over the situation. And if God is in control of the situation and God is for us, then nothing can stand against us. Just look at verse 29 and 30 after 28. It says, we know that God works for all things for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, because those he calls he foreknew and he predestined, and he calls the ones he calls he also justifies, And those he justifies, he also glorifies. What we see here is an unbreakable chain of salvation. And it's one of the strongest doctrines in Orthodox Christianity that once you have received the gift of grace, it cannot be taken from you. That's what Romans 8 talks a lot about, this eternal security, that we were given a gift we didn't even deserve. So if we didn't deserve to receive it, there's nothing we can do to have it taken away from us. And we see here an unbreakable chain that if God calls you to something, he will see it to completion. And you may think, well, the calling to come to Christ is a universal calling. Everyone is called to believe in Christ, but not everyone does. So does that mean that God's calling isn't always effective? That's not true. God's calling is always effective because if you look, he says the one he calls, he foreknew. So God is planning your salvation before you even knew. And so that when he calls you, the ones who answer the call, he knows you were going to answer the call. And when you answer it, it's not a matter of if you're going to fall away, but God is going to see it to completion. It's an effective call from belief all the way to the day of Jesus Christ. That's what Philippians 1:6 tells us. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus. Basically, what we know is that God has been fighting for us before we even knew God. He foreknew us before we even cared, before we were even born. God was ordaining our salvation. That's how much God has been fighting for us. And so I want to get a little theological for a second, maybe a little philosophical, I don't know. But you know, everything that we look at in this world, this material world, we're kind of currently just bound to the universe. We're not in control of anything. You know, people that are skeptics of God, the one thing we can agree on is that none of us are ultimately in control. We put our faith in the fact that the earth's going to keep spinning when we fall asleep and the sun's going to rise and we're going to wake up the next day. We're not in control of that. But for the skeptic, they look out and they see chaos and randomness and just the product of a cosmic lottery. And when that's all you see and you don't know that you have a God that is for you, it makes you live your life in fear. It makes you live a life that's all about self-preservation. And so you're too afraid to step out of your comfort zone. You're too afraid to step out into something new because you don't know what's going to happen. But if we have a God, and we know we have a God who controls and holds everything in his hand, we can step out in faith, not knowing what the results are going to be, but to know that God is fighting for us always. What I'm saying is that God, his love for you is the impetus for how he moves history forward. Think about this. God's motivation in what he has done, he interrupted history. He inserted himself into history and subjected himself to the temptations of the flesh, to suffering, to death on a cross, and he did it because he loves us. Hebrews says that at the fullness of time, calls it at the fullness of time, Christ died for us. So God being for us means that he's demonstrated his foreness for us. He has this characteristic, his foreness for us. Because God is ensuring that his purpose prevails. And if you're in Christ, you are in his purpose. And so if you're in his purpose, you too will prevail. So what does that mean? Is that if God is for you, he is a constant in your life, and it means that you are not alone. You're not the only one that cares about what you're going through. And I know that sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it's a lot of, we internalize a lot of stuff, and we feel like no one knows what I'm going through. And no one could possibly know what you're going through, but God does, and God understands what you're feeling. That's what it means that God is for you, because God is fighting for you. He's orchestrated history on your behalf. Verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God holds nothing back for you. God throws everything at the enemy. He even threw himself. And so when fear and doubt try to creep into our lives and try to hijack our thoughts, we can replace it with these truths. We can have this battle cry to remember that if God is for us, nothing can stand against us. We ought to draw on the life that we have in the Spirit if indeed we have placed our faith in Him. You think about all the things going on in the world. There's the earthquake that just happened in Italy. Think about all these terrorist attacks and you don't know when the next mass shooting is going to happen. And for a lot of people, I know that they just react to that and say, well, wow, what's going on in our world? But for the Christian, we have a hope. We have a hope that God is in control and that He is working it all out for the benefit of the church, for those who love Christ. And so we can have hope that even though what we see are all these variables, that in the midst of it, there is a constant, a love, an assurance, a salvation. And so we're actually going to be ending here soon. And I just want to encourage you that in the uncertainty of your life, in the anxiety of your life, you can't think away pain, right? When it says that God works all things out for the good of those who love Him, it doesn't mean that the bad thing is good. The bad thing is still there. The evil is still evil. The pain and the suffering is still real. But what it's saying is hold on to the hope that we have that if we hold on in this lifetime, God is bringing your calling and your purpose to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And so it might not get better right away. But we have a hope. And some of the verses we didn't even read, which I encourage you, go home, read Romans chapter 8. A lot of the verses before talk about we have a God that intercedes for us. We have Jesus, our advocate. We have the Holy Spirit interceding. And then we have this verse that says God is for us. So we have an entire triune God that is fighting for our benefit. And that's why we can say in these last verses that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors, which means that because Jesus overcomes, we overcome. Not only do we overcome what life throws at us, but we have access to the thriving, joy-filled life in Him. So I want to call the band up, and my encouragement to you is to really just think about what it means for God to be for you. When you see all the variables in your life, look to the constant that you have in Him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your word. Father, I come to You with thanks for Your Son, Jesus, that You have given us security and salvation, that Your Spirit dwells in us. And because Your Spirit dwells in us, we have the ability to walk by faith. And Father, I pray for the one here maybe who is going through a tough time, maybe an unsure time, anxiety, I don't know what it is. God, I pray that You would let them know that no matter what the future holds, You are for them. You are fighting for them. You have been fighting for them before they were even born. And I pray that if you're here and you don't know that God is for you, I pray that you would answer His call. Because when you answer His call is effective and He will see it to completion. That's what being a Christian is. It's surrendering to that call. It's saying, yes, Lord, I believe. I want Your life. And so I want to give all of us an opportunity here, whether we're in Christ or not, to one, answer that call to say, yes, Lord, I believe in Your resurrection. I give my life to You. But also, if you're a Christian and you're struggling to see that calling, you're struggling to see that you're walking in Him, to just remind yourself that God is for you. Just take a few seconds here and just contemplate this rich verse. Father God, today we say yes to You, Lord. That no matter what comes our way in this life, that You are there as a constant source of love, of power, forgiveness. Even in our failure, You are for us. God, thank You for this word, the book of Romans, and I pray that we can go forth in faith and trust in you. I pray this in your name. Amen.